Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Daniel Liguori, and this morning I have the special pleasure to bring on Blaise Lantana. Welcome, Blaise. How are you?
Good to be here. It's just a little bit early for me, but I'm good. Good to be here.
Blaise is a friend of mine, and we've known each other for many years. She's a music director at K-Jazz, and I've known her for many years and enjoyed listening to her on the air, and she's also a musician, and so I really appreciate you joining me today. And Blaise, tell our listening audience what you do.
Well, I choose at K-Jazz, what I do is I choose the music that I listen to music that's coming in, stacks of CDs every day, and I decide what goes on the air. And then I program it by figuring out, well, what do I think people would want to use? And there are certain formulas, but I kind of wing it because I have a good set of ears. It's almost like I can hear when people are turning off the radio. When a certain song, you know, I'm like, oh, that is too intense, or that is too... Radio is different than just listening to jazz. Like, I love listening to jazz, but what I might listen to live or even in my personal CDs or albums wouldn't necessarily be the best thing for the radio. So I make that choice and figure out what is good. And I talk to people. I'm on the air every night and Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock until 11. And people can listen at jazz.kjzz.org. That's our 24-hour jazz service that we provide because we're an NPR station. So on the radio, jazz comes on at 8 o'clock. But if you want to listen anywhere else, anytime else, we have a service for 24 hours of jazz. So it's a lot of fun.
That is wonderful. How long have you been at K-Jazz?
Over 20 years now. I'm meeting people who come up to me and say, oh, I listened to you when I was a kid and I love your show. And it's just so nice to have some of that continuity, you know, especially in a place like Phoenix where things change a lot here.
Certainly.
Because we get a lot of people coming into town and leaving. It happens here.
Absolutely. And so what brought you to K-Jazz? You know, 1995, you got there. What brought you ultimately to
that? Well, I was in Texas, and I was on the radio there in a little station, and somebody said, Blaise, this job is opening up at KBOC, which is the classical station here. And I said, oh, that's Phoenix. Must be like Tucson, where I had lived. I was born in Tucson, went away, came back anyway. I said, well, Tucson, yes, like Tucson, I could do that. And then I applied for the job at KBOC, and I got it as an announcer there at the classical station. And it was about a year later, and somebody came in and said, Blaise, how would you like to do the jazz programming? And I said, oh, that'd be fun. And so then they moved me to K-Jazz.
Right.
And I've been doing that ever since. So it was like I had a year of classical, and then I went into jazz, which is probably better where I belong. Well, some people appreciated my sense of humor on the classical side, but I think I'm good on the jazz side. Yeah. I have a lot of improvisational techniques.
Oh, and so you're the second longest tenured. I know Bob Corritore has been there since.
Yes,
Bob has been there since the mid '80s, and he's got those lowdown blues on K-Jazz. So
every Sunday night.
Yes,
that's
yeah.
Right.
So yeah. And that's when you first met Bob in '95.
Uh huh. When I came and he was doing that show, he's been there longer than I have.
Yeah, he's got one of the longest radio programs, I think, in the United States.
He does a great job.
Yeah, he certainly is. So has he been an influence to you? I mean, you know, he does blues. And,
well, sometimes I'll go and ask him for some songs. As a matter of fact, I should have hit him up for some holiday tunes because he has the blues library, and I'll sometimes pull some blues into the jazz programming. You know, it works because they're both from the same roots, although jazz a little different, so people listen for a different thing. One of the things is blues is often vocal.
Yes.
And most jazz that I play anyway is instrumental jazz.
Right.
So it's a little bit different. But yeah, I'll pull in some stuff or ask him. Often he'll come and tell me where he's going on tour because he also plays music, you know. So where are you going, Bob? And he'll be like, oh, I'm going to Sweden for 2 weeks or South America and playing the blues all over the world.
It's great. I don't know if you've also joined him on those lowdown blues when there's pledge drives. I know a couple of times.
Yeah, I go in there.
You could help him out and things like that.
Yes.
Through the years, how has it changed in jazz, not only on K-Jazz, but in the industry? How has it changed? I mean, since 95, I mean, it's
I got into radio in 88 and I started doing different kinds of shows. And then it's changed a lot since then. Well, one thing that's changed is nobody really is using records.
Right.
Even Bob doesn't use records anymore.
He uses CDs. Right. I've been there.
And that's a big change because we started with dropping the needle and all of that, which is really different. The other thing is that we used to do taping. We had big tapes. And so if we were doing an interview, say, and I was interviewing you and there was something that happened, I would have to go in with the razor blade, cut that out of the tape and tape it back together. And I got pretty good at it. And then they took the tape away. But I'm really glad because now everything is digital.
Yeah.
So the sound is on a screen digitally. And you look at the sound waves and then you go, okay, that's where Joe coughed or that's where he fell off the chair or something.
Yeah.
And then you go, you can just go in and edit that without any problem. No razor blades or tape, or it's just all digital. So that's another change. And now we're going to digital music, which is interesting. We haven't gotten there yet. We're still using CDs, but they're getting ready to make
everything. So you think that will be an advantage with a digital versus a CD just for, you know, for you as an on-air host?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, the good part is it won't be skipping and things like that. But the other day I pulled something up in a digital file because we're loading all our CDs in digitally now. And I pulled up a tune. I said, oh, let me hear this tune in the digital file. And it was bad. It was like skipping. And I'm like, oh, somebody recorded this badly. So now it's digitally bad. So there are complications like that. But overall, it'll be interesting. You know, when we first went to CDs, it was different because, of course, I could hear, this isn't a vinyl record, and I could hear the difference in sound quality. And I am a sound quality person. So I did that, but then I just kind of got used to the CDs and it's so much easier. I mean, just a lot easier to find the tunes. But on the record, you can see things. So if I looked at a record, I could say, oh, there's the bass solo. I don't want to use that song. It has a really long bass solo, which doesn't really play well on radio. Oh, that song, I could see it. You can see it in the grooves, what it looks like. I can't do that on a CD, so I have to listen. But I also, one of the advantages is I listen like fast. So I had somebody come in and say, would you listen to my CD? And I said, oh, okay. So I put it in, I hit the fast forward and I'm listening fast. And he goes, what are you doing to my song? I'm like, it's okay. I hear fast because I have to listen to so much music, but I know what I'm listening for. I'm listening for, is the song in a continual kind of sound or does it kind of get really soft in a spot? Am I going to need to turn that up? And I'll just go through quickly and say, okay, that's going to work. That's not going to work. Things like that. So it's really a lot of music. And I listen to, I have an assistant, Michelle, and she listens to the first pass. She'll pull in like 20 CDs and give me two. And then I decide whether or not those two are going to get through. And, and there's just a lot. Well, that's another thing that has changed. The amount of music coming out now is 10 times what it was.
So now you're keeping up with all the musicians now, you know, locally, nationally, as opposed to what it was, say, 25 years ago.
It's a lot harder to keep up.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder. And then, you know, it used to be a commercial studio put the record together. And while we're glad that everybody now has a chance to make their music, they don't have the same knowledge that a record label has. A record label knows if they're going to send me a record that there are going to be two songs on there, 1 3 minutes, 1 5 minutes, no bass solos, no drum solos, with a good groove, and I know Blaze will play this.
Yeah.
But people don't know that. So they may send me something with 3 15-minute songs, and I'll be like, no. Now, there are good 15-minute tunes. I mean, I'm playing for the holidays. I'm playing Duke Ellington's Nutcracker Suite, which is really great. It's Tchaikovsky's music, but redone by Duke Ellington, and Billy Strayhorn, I believe, also worked on that. And so it's jazz, but it's Tchaikovsky's melodies, and it's wonderful. It's 30 minutes long. Yeah. So I play that occasionally. So it can't, but you know, that's Duke Ellington. That's an incredible piece. Joe Schmo in his garage might not have 15 minutes of music to say something. And so sometimes I'll get that. It's interesting, you know, I have a lot of ideas about what I want, and I sometimes tell people, look, if you want to be on a radio show with your music, although that's less and less relevant in some ways, I'll say, give me a CD with different lengths of music. So give me a 5-minute tune, a 7-minute tune, a 10-minute tune, a 3-minute tune, and a 1-minute tune or 2-minute tune, because you know, when you're doing broadcasting, sometimes I need 60 seconds of sound. or 2 minutes of sound. And it's very rare that I get something like that. And sometimes people are aware of that sin. But that's all radio. See, radio, people will be like, oh, Blaze hates bass solos. And I don't. I love the sound of the bass. But radio is different than just music. And I'm the radio person.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I listen to the music and think about how are people using this. Maybe they're driving a truck or a taxi, or maybe they're going home from work. Now, here, I'll tell you one of my pet peeves. My pet peeve is, and this had nothing to do with music, but I'll be, for some ridiculous reason that rarely happens, driving at 5 o'clock in Phoenix, which is just terrible. You know, it's terrible.
Certainly. I certainly wish I had your show was on at 5, because I do a lot of driving at 5 p.m. and jazz doesn't come on until 8. And usually I'm home. But I know what you mean, 100%.
It's terrible.
Yes.
And then somebody comes on the radio and says, Happy Friday. And I'm like, I can tell this person has never driven at 5 o'clock in Phoenix, or they would not be saying to me, Happy Friday.
No.
They would be saying, I know you're in traffic. Here's the latest news to help distract you.
Yeah.
Stay calm. Because especially now, and I've been saying it, you know, even at 8 o'clock at night, be careful driving, because people are in a hurry. They're buying presents. There are visitors here. It's just
a lot of things going on.
A lot of
once.
Things going on in December and January in Arizona, and traffic.
A lot of things can happen.
Yeah.
But I worked for the Diamondbacks for many years, and I would get off of work, say 10, 11 o'clock, and I'd be listening to your show. So after, you know, being stimulated for 7, 8 hours, I'd listen to jazz on the ride home just to kind of, you know, wind down. So I'd be on the highway and just be like, you know, I'm looking forward to listening to some jazz. And what I really enjoy about it is on K-Jazz, there's no commercial breaks. So it's just basically, you know, there's songs, then you come on and talk about certain things. But it's not like, you know, the other FM stations where there's commercials, you got to wait 7 or 8 minutes for the next song. So from what you see from listeners, does that, you know, really engage people more with that? Because you're not going to have to wait till the DJ says,
well,
6, 7 minutes from now,
that's
somebody else.
That's public radio.
Right.
That's public radio. And I think that's one of the blessings of public radio. And I've always worked in public radio and all my life, ever since I've been on the radio, it's always been public radio. And what I love about public radio is that it comes together from people putting in $50 here, $100 here. Sometimes somebody will put in, $1,000. We have this new thing, which a lot of people do who are raising funds, where you do a sustaining gift. People give $20 a month. And that's, I think that's a wonderful way to do a business, because so many people are involved. And people will send me a note, like I'll get a note, Blaze, why are you playing Christmas music so early? It's Hanukkah. You know, I mean, they have a certain engagement with this station. Like,
this
is my radio
station. It's
that
connection.
So I love public radio for that.
I can speak to that. You know, as I've volunteered at K-Jazz for the pledge drives, I've, you know, taken phone calls and gotten a chance to, you know, raise money and talk to some of the people over there. And it really is a niche audience where I think that, you know, the people really, you know, they do appreciate your show, Bob's show, and you can really feel that.
It's funny to be in radio, because you don't really see the people. Sometimes I just think I'm talking to one or two people, and then I'll be out at the MIM introducing a show, or that's the Musical Instrument Museum, and they have a theater there, and I'll be emceeing a show for them, a jazz show. And somebody will come up and go, oh, I've been listening to your show. I love your show. I just really enjoy. And it just really lifts me up, because I forget that. I sometimes forget how many people it is reaching, and it reaches a lot of people. But the thing I want to tell you is that you have to get an HD radio, and I have to get one too.
Yeah.
And you can get it for the car. It's like not that expensive.
I have one in my car right now, and the sound is really awesome on HD radio.
Yeah. But you can listen to jazz.
At
5 o'clock.
I don't have to. And then I can turn jazz on when I'm on the highway.
Right. Well, because we have the second station. K-Jazz has HD2. So you can listen to jazz 24/7. Which is really nice. And we're working on developing that a little more and putting some more local stuff in, because, like, I just got a new CD from this band Sonrisa that I play. I play a lot of people like Stan Sorensen, who's a master guitarist here in Arizona, just brilliant. And Beth Lederman, who's a piano player, she's got a CD out that I play. So I love doing the people who play right here in Arizona. And it's a tough life being a jazz musician.
Yeah.
Most jazz musicians, I don't know if you've heard this little story about jazz musicians, but it'd be like most musicians, they go and they play the gig and then they go home and, you know, chill. jazz musician goes, plays the gig, and then goes and plays jazz. Because most people aren't, the jazz business is not as developed as a lot of other businesses. Yeah. And I think people anchor on to vocal more. You know, they listen to a song with a vocal. More people listen to vocal. And that's an American thing. Yeah. In Europe, that's not the case. They're more interested in instrumental music than we are, because they have the trance music that's all instrumental, very little vocal in that. So it's kind of interesting to watch what people like. But whenever people tell me they don't like jazz, and I hate when somebody will get on from, I have to say this, from the national station, and they'll play jazz, and they pick the most weird outside jazz that people, and I'm like, this is not, people are going to start thinking I hate jazz again. Yeah. This is not what jazz is so amazing, because it covers everything from Louis Armstrong and the Hot Fives and Seven, kind of a traditional jazz thing that you hear with trumpets and clarinets, and then it moves into swing, and then it moves into bebop, and then it moves into hard bop with Horace Silver, and now today incorporating world music, and it can have a groove or it can be beautiful without a groove. It's just such a variety. And that's what I love about my job. Sometimes I'll change the dial, you know, and I'll go to another station and I'm good for about 15 minutes. And
then another FM station here in town.
Yeah, something else. I like other kinds of music. Yeah. I like all kinds of music, but I'll be like, okay, it's kind of starting to sound the same now.
Now I need to go back to jazz, because jazz is so different.
It's more variety.
Other genres, there's one thing I've said about jazz and blues is there's different versions of it, or other genres, it's a lot of it sounds similar. So there's a variety. And I see what your show is. Every night there's somebody different.
Right.
And you listen to, a lot of times, classic rock or adult contemporary, a lot of the songs get played a lot, you know.
Oh, you're talking about the repetition.
Yeah, the repetition of the programming.
Yeah,
you know, a classic rock station, even adult contemporary, a lot of it's played the same songs. But your show, and also Bob Corritore's show, there's, you know, so much of a variety that, you know, hearing the same song, you know, back to back days it's not something where it happens.
It might happen now because it's holiday.
Maybe to the holidays, but you know, for the rest of the year, there's very much. I hear one artist, and you're able to continue to bring that variety in, and that's what I really enjoy about it. You know, there's just so many musicians and so many stories, and it's really hits home. So, like when I'm listening to your show, I feel like I'm part of the show. I'm sometimes, you know, if I'm listening in the car or I'm in the house, I feel like, you know, I'm part of the chat, you know, bringing back, like if I was in this time period. Yeah.
Yeah. When I talk about it, and I just, who was the most recent? I just interviewed Bill Cunliffe, and Bill Cunliffe isn't somebody everybody might know, but he's a brilliant musician, piano player, band leader, teacher out of California, and having him in the studio, I find that jazz musicians on the whole, except for a couple of trumpet players, it's the instrument. Yeah. Anyway, most jazz musicians are so humble.
They really are.
They are so amazingly humble and thoughtful. And the other part is that they've really studied so much. They're so concentrated in their area that when I ask them questions, maybe sort of like me, they're just so grateful to be able to talk about what they do, because it's so intense and dimensional, and they don't always get to. You know, they may play. Somebody says, go play the piano. They don't understand how much is going into what that guy is doing. Mm-hmm. Like Bill Cunliffe played the show, and he studied classical. So I'm listening to him, and I'm hearing little hints of Mozart. I'm hearing little hints of Art Tatum that does, and different artists that I know, you know, that I'm familiar with. I hear him using those influences in his playing to bring the song to life. And that's the kind of things that jazz musicians do. And they are, I'm also a singer and guitarist, and I get to work with the musicians here in town. And I always feel like I am so glad to be the weakest link.
Yeah.
Because they are so smart. They are so brilliant. And they are so, all the musicians that I work with, they're always just so generous to me about playing. I know I did a show one time, and I started the tune and I couldn't find my note. Couldn't find the starting note. You know, I got the groove going, the drummers going, got the starting note, and I couldn't find it. I just couldn't, where do I start? And so I had to stop the tune. I was like fishing around, bebopping around. I'm like, I just couldn't find it. I stopped and I go, I'm sorry, guys, I just can't find the note. And the drummer was so kind. He said, you know, Blaze, we're with you. If you go down, we all go down. You're what we want to make you right. So whatever you need to do, we're with you. Right. And, you know, it's just that kind of kindness when they could have gone, oh, my goodness.
Kind of took a different singer, road, yeah.
Yeah, here's a singer can't find her entrance. Well, you know, that's a joke, right?
Yes.
About singers. You know, how can you tell there's a singer at the door? She doesn't know when to come in and she can't find the key. Yeah, that's the. But it doesn't happen that much. It only happened to me once. And I love getting to work with some of the musicians here in town. And what's interesting, too, as a musician is how different it is. Like I've always played, I used to play piano and then I played guitar. Now I play mostly guitar. And I'm so used to my own chord inversions. So sometimes being used to hearing a guitar chord inversion and then you work with a piano player. And that's kind of what happened to me on this gig. It's a different sound. You have to find your note in a different place. And it's very interesting to go back and forth between a music director who's a guitarist and a music director who's a pianist, because it's just a different feel for what's happening. And then, of course, the bass brings in the solid, where the key is, where you are, and the drummer's giving you that rhythm. And the blend of musicians, being able to work with a combo like that is really fun. I've also had some work with big bands, which is different. Because then in a big band, you can be creative, but you have to be in when you're supposed to be in. It's very much stricter because, you know, you got 20 people playing. They're not going to follow you. If you come in somewhere wrong, they're not going to be able to make that switch as quickly as a combo. Or if you're doing something, you want to be creative with phrasing or change it. They may have an entrance for those trumpets to come in. So you better have your phrase done by the time that section comes in. But so I really enjoy working with a combo. It's a lot of fun. And I have worked with just such masterful players here in the Valley. I've played with Yannis Koudelis. He's a pianist who's just brilliant. And I mentioned Beth Lederman, who grew up here.
That's awesome. They had
a music store here, Lederman's. And she plays with everyone, all different styles of music. And Stan Sorensen, he's a guitarist I work with. And he plays everything from solo to, you know, pit work, orchestra work. It's really a treat that we have so many good musicians here. What I would like to see here is more places for them to play, for all of us to work and play. So one of the things that you can do in any place, whether it's Phoenix or anywhere, you can go to a restaurant and say, do you guys have music here? Do you ever have a guitar player, a piano player? And if you find there is a place that has that, when you go there, be sure to thank the people.
Yeah.
You know, be sure to say, hey, I saw you. You have music here. You know, I'm really glad you have music. Now, I've gone in sometimes where I didn't particularly like the music because I'm kind of a jazz person.
That sure.
Isn't always the choice. But I still thank them for having music because it's a way to keep art and creativity alive.
Yes,
even
it is.
If it's not a music that you're particularly fond of.
It keeps that creativity going.
Yes,
yeah.
We want to have music.
And certainly.
Although I was in Paris, and one of the things I noticed in Paris was there is no noise.
Yeah.
In the cafes, there's no music. There's no radio sound playing. You know, here I was in downtown Chandler, I think, or Gilbert, and I walked down the street. There was not a single restaurant I could eat in. Not a single one. Because everyone, the music was so loud that
they couldn't hear it.
And it wasn't a musician. It was sound. It was loud music. I couldn't carry on a conversation. I went into one, I left, I went to another one, I left. I said, just get food to go. And, you know, it's sad. But anyway, here we are. I'm in Paris. I got to go, and I took my niece. And all the cafes, people are sitting there having a glass of wine and having a conversation. Now, there might be a soccer game on at the bar, but the sound is not on. And people aren't yelling. I was in Tucson. I can't remember the name of this place. Tony Frank is a trumpeter, and he plays in Tucson. He's a wonderful musician, and it was the perfect sound. It was a trumpet. I wouldn't think so. Trumpet, guitar, and bass. And it was just, and he sang, Tony Frank sings as well. And it was just perfect for a restaurant. You know, it's just delightful. The sound, you know, he played so beautifully. And then there was a football game on and people were screaming. And I'm like, I know that football is popular, but, you know, and they'd be in the middle of a tune and people were screaming. So when Tony finished the tune, I started screaming. You know, I was like, yeah, right.
that's really exciting. Yeah,
I know. I mean, I know you're a sports guy.
Yes, but, I am. I am.
But there is a small you know.
There's a big relation because I'm also the host of Business Scorecard, but music has really helps me, like, if my team's having a bad season, or I look to music to help me to get through it. And your show, listening to jazz and Bob Corator, and those things really makes me, I think it's awesome. You know, those are like, I've told our president CEO Karen, that Karen Nowicki here, how much, you know, sports and music, they're my passions, but music really helps me as my soul of, you know, getting through those times. So like I said, if my team isn't winning or if things aren't going my way there, I can enjoy your show
or you may need an exciting victory song too.
A victory song, which I mean, in Arizona sports hasn't been too common lately. So, but there's, those things have been really, you know, my passion. You've played at the Rhythm Room, owned by Bob Corator. What's it been like there? I know I had Jenny Jarnigan, who's also a musician. She was joining us just before Thanksgiving holiday. What's it been like playing at the Rhythm Room? I've been there. I've seen a lot of people.
It's fun there. It really is a fun room to play. It has a flavor of old blues clubs, and it also has, I can't explain it. It has a stage, which is nice.
Yes.
It has an up elevated stage, and it has a good sound system and a sound man, and not a lot, you know, not everywhere you play has that.
Yeah.
And they have a sound guy who kind of knows what he's doing, which is nice. And there's a dance floor, and there's places for people who don't want to dance to just sit and listen. It's really a really fun environment, the Rhythm Room here in Arizona. And I like the feel of the place, and it has been pretty good. I mean, it was good before Bob bought it.
Yes.
And he liked it. He was managing it, and he liked it when they said, well, we're just going to sell it and close it.
That was at the Purple Turtle. It was the Purple Turtle before.
Was it?
Yeah. Bob had bought it it was September of 91, and before that, it was the Purple Turtle, and then he had came in, managed it, like you said, and then purchased it. I remember there was a 20-year anniversary. He had a bunch of people come out for that one back in 2011. Right. I had actually done a documentary on Bob, and he had guys like Mud Morganfield, Muddy Waters' son, come out, and a bunch of blues and some jazz people that were there. So, yeah, that was
it's quite a nice place to have here.
It really is,
but it's not easy keeping a music room open when it's just a music room.
Yes.
You know, because people. A couple things happened. The drinking laws changed.
Yes,
and after 9/11, people just go out less. And
I remember Bob saying that. I remember him saying how much it changed. I remember he said he played the week after the 9/11 attacks, and how much just from that it changed. You know, how everybody was
just different.
Yeah, it was different. And he remember him saying he played a few days after the 9/11 attacks, and how much different it was.
Right.
Just how people reacted, and how much 17 years later it's been. And the culture of it. You know.
Yeah, it has changed. But what I like about the Rhythm Room is I'll see people of all ages there.
Yes.
And that's fun, you know, because blues and jazz can really unite people. Another another fun place is the Nash. I don't know if you've been
In downtown Phoenix on Roosevelt Street, and it is really fun.
Now that's a different kind of room.
It is.
It's a jazz room.
Yeah.
And it's almost exclusively jazz, although they've done a few other things. And it doesn't have an elevated stage.
Yeah.
It really feels like a little jazz club, and I'm going to play there.
Yes, I know. I should see that you are going to be playing
December 23rd.
Yeah, awesome. Right before the Christmas holiday.
I'm going to be doing all holiday tunes. I've got a killer band. Mary Petrick, who's a remarkable saxophone player, is going to be with me, and Sheila Early on the drums. She's a world-class drummer, plays all over the world, and sometimes out of New York, but sometimes we have her here in Phoenix. And then I have Mel Brown on the bass, and Joel Robin is going to be playing piano. And I have some special guests might appear. So I'm still working on that to try to get some people out. And it's the K-Jazz Christmas party or holiday party.
So you have a lot of the K-Jazz staff there out there.
Some of the K-Jazz. Yeah. I hope they'll show up. You know, the thing is, when we get a day off, people are like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just staying home. But I'm hoping they'll come out too. And It's going to be at the Nash in the afternoon, so people can come out in the daytime to take a break from shopping on Sunday afternoon. It's going to be fun. And then I'm playing at the First United Methodist Church on Central Avenue with that same band on Christmas Eve.
It's wonderful.
So that'll be 11 o'clock service. We'll start playing around 20 till and play some tunes, and then we'll play for the service. We did this last year, and it was so much fun. It was really wonderful because we kind of change the tunes a little, you know, so you might hear a tune. Let me think of one, like, say Jingle Bells, right? You say, like, dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. Well, then, like, you jazz it up a little, you change the rhythm. It's like, dashing through the snow, but Indiana, one horse open sleigh. But so yeah, it's going to be a whole different vibe to the tunes, and it's a lot of fun. And that's part of what I've been playing over the last week and next week, you know, on KJazz at jazz.kjzz.org, is that I'm playing holiday tunes that you'll get to hear some of that, what people can do. Jazz musicians will take the tune, reharmonize it, change some of the essence of the tune, but still be putting it together. So you'll hear that on the station when I'm playing this holiday jazz, and then you'll hear it when I do it on December 23rd at the Nash. I'm really looking forward to the show. I'm just a holiday girl.
That's awesome.
I love all the holidays.
Yes.
I celebrate all the holidays I can manage that have music related. So, you know, Valentine's Day, I like to have two Valentine's Days. One is for all the romance tunes, and one is for all the, what does my niece call it? Sad, single awareness day. That's what she calls Valentine. So I like to put down heartbreak songs and, I'm by myself, but that's okay. So I have like two Valentine's. Anyway, I just like the holidays.
Certainly wonderful. And with KJazz, you know, the signal being, you know, reaches, I mean, I've been in far as Prescott and have been able to hear KJazz.
It really can reach strange places. It goes
as far as Tucson, I've been able to hear it. And then like as far as Sedona, Prescott, I've been able to get it with a pretty decent signal.
In and out,
but enough to where it's bearable to hear. So I've been in places outside of Phoenix and I'm like, well, the blaze is going to be on tonight and I'm turning the radio on and I'm able to get KJazz to a point, you know, and same with
I think
Bob
I was
show,
out in Safford and I heard, I was listening to it way out in east, in the eastern part of the state. But sometimes, and then I said something about, on the air, I think, about Tucson. I said, I know we're down in Tucson, but I never can get it because I'm always...
Well, 98.9 has
I know,
KJazz,
but I'm on the west side of town down there and I never can pick it up. And the engineer came in and goes, please, we have a signal in Tucson and it works.
Is there one in Flagstaff or...
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Because I know it's pretty hard to get it there, but I know you can get it online. But I was in Flagstaff once trying to catch to see if there was a way to get KJazz. But I know online and also on the jazz.kjz.org was a way to... Certainly, but
I wonder if you could pick it up on the HD up there. I don't know how that signal travels. I'm not an engineer.
But. Yeah, but with jazz stations playing full jazz,
there's not that many.
I know KUVO in Denver does. Uh-huh. I think there's one in Philadelphia, 90.1.
There's one in LA,
and
there's one in New Jersey.
WVGO,
Right, so there's very
few.
Maybe half a dozen
in
the
country. And then there was smooth jazz, used to be 95.5. What has happened with that? I mean, I know this...
They shut down the format.
Is it just not really...
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Commercially must not have been viable, but there were a lot of people who love that format. And KJazz actually was originally... Well, no, we were straight ahead jazz. And then we went to smooth jazz in, I don't know when that would be, maybe the 80s. And then Coyote came into the market.
95.5. Yeah.
Right. And we couldn't... public radio can't really compete with regular radio because regular radio has a lot of money from all those commercials you don't like listening to.
Yeah.
So they'll do things like, oh, we're giving away $1,000 every day.
Because of all the funding from advertising.
We don't have that.
Right.
So it's a much more budget kind of place.
Certainly.
And we can't do the advertising and outreach that they can do. So they said, okay, we're going to go back to regular jazz, straight ahead jazz, what we call straight ahead or classic jazz. And Coyote was in the market and then Coyote went away.
Yeah.
So that meant that I got all the people who thought they wanted to be on Coyote playing music start sending me smooth jazz.
So you can play smooth jazz on
Not really.
Not so much.
No. Yeah. I mean, but I found that the jazz format has expanded. And also a lot of smooth jazz artists are now playing jazz because there's no...
What would you say the biggest difference, I mean, with smooth jazz versus regular jazz? If you could, I mean, I've heard the two of them. What's probably the biggest difference? There's more vocals with smooth jazz, right?
The biggest difference is the interaction between the musicians and the improvisation.
Right.
So when I'm listening to a smooth jazz set, now this isn't, of course, all smooth jazz, but in general, it's called contemporary jazz or smooth jazz. The drummer is kind of locked in. The bass player is locked in. I mean, they may be doing some creative things, but it's a pretty solid, not changing thing.
That's what I've seen. It's very much consistent.
Yeah, and that's why people like it.
Yeah,
because it's closer to rock in a way. It has
more like an adult contemporary, a little bit like that.
It has, but it has a consistent. It's most of the songs are a certain length. You will never hear bass or drum solos. You won't hear extensive improvisation, and it's very melodic, which is easier to listen to.
Right.
I always thought that smooth, for when that was on the air, I always thought people would be like, oh, well, it's smooth jazz. I'm like, smooth jazz is just a different format.
And it's different.
And it's great because I think it gets people listening to instrumental music. There is a lot of instrumental in smooth jazz as well. And people aren't used to that. If you listen to any other radio or music, you're listening to vocals.
Yes.
So to have smooth jazz even in the market, I thought, well, this is good. This is like getting people like, oh, I can listen to instrumental music without words and it's fun. And then maybe find their way to jazz. I think a lot of people find jazz, some come early and some find it later in their life because they're like, okay, I've listened
to it. For me, I found it when I was very young. I played the clarinet.
Oh,
so I first listened to Glenn Miller. Glenn Miller was one of my my grandfather listened to him. And I loved Glenn Miller. And then, I mean, he was a trombone player, but I played the clarinet. So Glenn Miller was one of the first.
Well, this is so great Daniel's like 30 years old and to be listening to Glenn Miller after all these years.
And it stuck to me. And kind of like when I listened to the blues, I listened to Muddy Waters and that was another genre. And those two things kind of stuck with me. And then I played clarinet when I was in like fourth, fifth grade.
I love to hear that. Whenever people play an instrument in school, it's such a wonderful thing because their ears wake up to that sound. Yeah. If you've been in a band and you played clarinet or trombone or trumpet, you hear the band differently than somebody who's never played.
Yeah.
Or maybe you have a kid who plays or a friend who plays, you hear differently. So when you listen to music, maybe there's not a clarinet, but because you played the clarinet, you're hearing what the horns might be doing or how that bass player is working or what's integrating in the music. And in jazz, see, that's what happens. The players are really listening to each other in a way that's very unique. So the bass player is going to do a little riff. The piano player might echo that riff, or the singer might take off on something the drummer does and change the phrasing because of that's happening like right now. That's not something they planned. That's what's different about jazz.
Yes.
And it can happen as well in smooth jazz. I've seen smooth jazz shows where the artists do that. But on the records, they won't do that very much. And jazz musicians do it on the record, live, all the time. And that's what I love is the excitement of listening to, say, Jeffrey Keyser at the piano, who's a master pianist. And I'll listen to him play something, and then I'll hear the bass player jump in on that and work with that. And so a band that has played together more can even be more exciting.
Yeah.
You know, the more people play together, the more they're able to know each other. And like I'm thinking about Chick Corea and Gary Burton. I interviewed them. It was not my plan. I was supposed to interview Gary Burton, who's a vibe player. So they put three chairs out on the stage, and I go, well, what's, and you know, I did my research. Like I looked up all this stuff about Gary Burton, who he played with, la, la, la. And they go, oh, Chick's coming out too. And I'm like, like always be double prepared. I wasn't prepared. But when I asked them, because they played together, just the two of them, master musicians, Gary Burton on vibes, Chick Corea at the piano. This was at the Mesa Arts Center. And I said, well, how do you know how you're going to play together like that? Or is it written down? Or is it just happening in the moment creatively? Chick Corea, being the guy that he is, goes, yes. Gary Burton, being the guy that he is, who was a teacher and dean at Berklee School of Music in Boston, explained it. He said, well, we start out with a form. We have an idea where the song is going, how we're formulating it, you know, where we're starting and ending and how long it's going to be. And he said, but then once we play together, we're listening to each other. We're really listening. He said, and when Chick does something, we have such a great level of knowledge about the music and what we're doing that I can hear he's going into this minor mode, or he's taking this out onto a different style. And I'd go with him. And certain people do that. They have that blend. And these guys, Chick Corea and Gary Burton, almost every time they made a record, won a Grammy.
Oh, that is certainly amazing. So,
and it was deserved. Yeah. It's wonderful. So that kind of interaction between musicians, I think, is part of what makes jazz exciting.
Absolutely. As we wrap up, I just wanted to touch on K-Jazz, how the audience, our listening audience, can help out K-Jazz, whether it be by pledge or how they can, you know, support the public radio, if you can. How they can go ahead and do
that? Well, you can go online to kjzz.org and you can always contribute there. And I think on the Jazz website, which is jazz.kjzz.org, I think they have a button there. You can hit it. You can contribute at any time. We do have drives. We just had our year-end drive. Yes. We always have that. But anytime you would like to be part of public radio and make a contribution, you can just go to the website and make a contribution at kjzz.org. And be sure to come to our Christmas party December 23rd.
At the Nash on December 23rd. Yeah,
at the Nash. That's on Roosevelt Street. And first, and come on down and hear some holiday music, take a break from shopping. It'll be a lot of fun. Yeah.
For our listening audience, how can they reach you, for those that want to reach out on social media?
I'm on Facebook at Blaze Lantana. I'm on Twitter, but I'm not sure how.
Okay.
That's sad. I'm on Twitter, but I don't know now that exactly what my name is or how it works. It's sad, but... people tweet me and I tweet them. I'm not sure how, but I am on Facebook at Blaise Lantana, and it's spelled B-L-A-I-S-E, which is, by the way, a saint, in case people didn't know that. People are always saying, how'd you get your Blaise is a saint.
That's a saint's name.
Uh-huh. And I was raised Catholic, and Blaise happens to be the patron saint of the throat.
Oh, wow.
And for reasons I'd rather not go into that are too gory to explain, but it's a Catholic thing. Yeah. So that's how I got the name. And Lantana, Blaze Lantana on Facebook, or you can contact me at the station at blantana@kjzz.org.
Wow. It's been wonderful having you on, Blaze, having you as a mentor and someone that I've really looked up to that is a radio host. So this has been a wonderful segment. I really thank you for joining us here at Phoenix Business Radio X this morning.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right. We lean business. Until next time, I'm Daniel Liguori.